Welcome to this week's show, The Tech Garage. I'm your host, Sean. This week, we talk to Mpi Ndebele, the director from Innovation for Africa. He walks us through his organization's mission and vision. They're trying to find solutions for African problems. Let's hear more what he says. Mpi, welcome to the show.
Thanks, it's good to be here.
Great. Can you please tell us more, who is Innovation for Africa?
Thanks. So Innovation for Africa is a trust, and the idea is that we can create something of a virtual hub whose sole mandate is to unlock the innovative potential of Africa.
Okay.
That's us.
Okay. A virtual hub?
Yeah.
So from a virtual hub, how do people become part of Innovation for Africa? What's the process for me to work or engage with you?
Yeah, so at the moment we don't have a formalized process. We're still in some regards still finding that space and engaging in different conversations and seeing how things develop. But at the moment we have a few programs that we run, and most of them have to do with platforms for conversation. So the best way to engage us really is to come along, take part, jump right in and be part of the conversation.
I've read your mission or your vision, and it seems like it's an interesting goal to strive for. So what is the role of this organization in trying to attain that vision?
Yeah, so I think that a lot of our role has to do with bringing people and entities, bringing players together for the purposes of conversation and collaboration towards achieving developmental goals. So I think that's our main role. You know, we see ourselves as being curators of ecosystems, catalysts or catalyzers, so that we can get conversation going and we can get Africa working in the way that she should.
Right. And I know one of your main goals is to try and African solutions to African problems using Africans.
Yeah.
I'd like to bring this question back to Zimbabwe. What can we as Zimbabweans do to try and be ready for, let's say, for the fourth industrial revolution? And also we know that the youths will be the one that will be running the economies in the next 15 to 20 years because it'll be a young generation. Yeah. What role can Zimbabwe play, or what can we do to prepare ourselves for such an eventuality?
Yeah, very good. You know, I think that the first thing that we need to do is to make the decision that we will. The first thing that we need to do is to come to terms with the fact that we are not a problem, but on the contrary, we're a solution.
Okay.
Let's come to terms with that. Let's reckon with it. Let's help one another to see that. Because the minute that we can see it, and the minute that we make that decision, and we are convinced that that we have what it takes to identify our own problems and to engage the innovative process so that we can establish the solutions to those problems. You know, I think that is half the battle won. Because once we are in that place, it means that conversation can take place. It means ideation can take place. It means that we make room for collaboration and we'll start to realize solutions to problems.
Okay, interesting. And we've been around and we've heard people saying that no, this has to be run by the government or it has to be run by the corporate. In your view, what do you think the authorities can do or play a part in trying to promote innovation, let's say in Africa, specifically in Zimbabwe? What can the government do, or even the local authorities do, to try and, you know, foster us to go on the right track to change our way of thinking?
Yeah. You know, the role of governments is to create an environment. Mm-hmm. And the word for that is policy.
Okay.
So I guess those in authority, the best thing that they can do is to seek out best policy and best practice in that regard, in terms of how do we create an environment where people can see and have that freedom to see, to dream, to believe, to engage, to create those kinds of solutions. So how do we create a safe space? So the role of a national government is how do we make sure that nationally we're creating an environment that is safe and conducive for these things to happen. You talk of the youth. Man, the youth are ready. The youth are ready. You talk of fourth industrial revolution, you talk of emerging technologies, you talk of artificial intelligence, of robotics, of 3D printing, of big data. The youth are ready. You know, so I think that the role of government is to create a space where people like that and entities like that can thrive and flourish. The role of corporates is to enable that, to bring problems that they can see and that problems that exist, because they've got eyes to see, because they're functioning in that space, to finance that environment and projects and ideas and the creation of solutions. And if we all work together like that, each one playing their part, I think that will amaze ourselves in terms of what's possible.
Okay, interesting. And I know you also believe, I'll go back to this, that you believe that African problems can be solved by Africans in their own way together.
Yeah.
And then there's also always this notion by most of us in Africa that anything that's from the West is best. How can we change, in your view, change that mindset that we as Africans are able also to come up with solutions and figure out things our own selves?
Yeah, so here's the thing, Sean. In Sean's life, who's the best person to know what's going on and what Sean needs? It's okay. Sean.
Yep.
You know, this is the process that I believe in. Number one, identify what problem you have. The best person to identify a problem that they have and to articulate that problem is themselves. They are best positioned. They know their history, they know their background, they know their resources, they know their strengths, they know their weaknesses and limitations. So here's the thing. I know that when we articulate things this way, we then run the danger of then shutting others out. That's far from it, because down the line you come to collaboration and actually even more upstream you have conversation. If I own my problem, it means that I will own the development of that solution. It doesn't mean that I am the one to solve it all on my own. No, it means that I take ownership and I take responsibility. So I think the challenge for Africa and the call to Africa, and I realize this is an entire continent, and one of my trustees always challenges me to say, B, do you realize how big these words that you throw out are, Africa and innovation? But it really is. It's a massive call to a continent, and the call is this. Take ownership and take responsibility. Our problems are our problems and they're ours to solve. It doesn't mean that we won't engage others, but when we do, we engage them for the purposes of collaboration, for the purposes of synergy, for the purposes of then designing a solution that is going to be multifaceted and will have many players in it. But we must own it. We must take responsibility for it. And to the extent that we do that is to the extent that we are going to be able to craft and to establish some stunning solutions. It's up to us. Okay. It's up to us. No one's going to do it for us. I remember Thembi Khumalo from Brand Builders. I remember her saying in quite a chilling way, actually, said, nobody's coming. Nobody's coming. It's like you and I are looking over the horizon, and and we think that a savior is coming for us to come and solve all our problems. Nobody is coming. And we need to take responsibility, identify African problems, solve them the African way. Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. Interestingly, you speak about collaboration and, you know, working together. There's also this notion whereby, and as I was about to say, that how can we as Zimbabweans do A, B, C, and D? Because there's always this notion or myth or belief that Kenya, Nigeria, and South Africa are leading when it comes to innovation. We always have that mindset that Zimbabwe has to compete with South Africa or Kenya or Nigeria. And from what you say, you have a different way. How can we become more connected and collaborate to try and remove this competition that we have in our mindset as Africans?
Great. That's such a brilliant question. And it reminds me of an article that I read. I can't remember the name of the author. It's from a hub in Washington, D.C. But it was an article called Innovation Matters. And in there, I came across a word that I had never seen, and I fell in love with that word, and I use it today. It's the word coopetition. Yeah. And it's an American word that puts together cooperation and competition. And what it says is this, is that entities that are in a competitive space ought to cooperate for the sake of that space. Now, I love it, because what it means is that you and I can still compete, but we must realize that even our competition must be undergirded by a cooperation and a collaboration together for the sake of that space. Because the minute that that space gets better, it forces you and it forces me to get better. So I think the day has come now for us to look at our fellow African brothers and sisters, Kenya, Nigeria, South Africa, Rwanda, and others, and to see that we're not in competition. And whatever competition that does exist, if it's undergirded by the desire to cooperate with one another and to collaborate with one another for the sake of the African space, so that if Africa gets better, Zimbabwe gets better. It's an upside down way of looking at it, because you and I, the tendency and the temptation is that we want to look after number one first. Let me look after B, because when B then starts to thrive and to flourish, then it means that the space around him starts to thrive and to flourish. I think I can follow the logic in that, but it's also nonsense. Because I need to see that life exists. Life is broader and grander than me. I have a role to play, but actually, if you read the good and holy book, there's a saying there that says, pray for the peace and prosperity of the city, because when the city prospers, you too will prosper. So it's an upside down model, but it works better than a selfish model.
Okay. Great. Okay, I'll throw you a curveball. So which country in Africa are you inspired or you wish that we could follow such models of what they're doing?
Yeah, so I mean, I think we should learn from each other. Mm-hmm. Look, I think Kenya is inspiring, Rwanda is inspiring. I think, yeah, at the moment, Rwanda is quite hot for me.
Okay.
You know, because a lot of the time, certainly for us as Zimbabweans and even sometimes as Africans, in whatever way, but we've got excuses, all right? Whether we're blaming our background or whether we're blaming someone that came and took up our space, but we've got excuses. I think that what inspires me about Rwanda is that if there's a country in Africa that would have the right to come up with valid excuses, it's Rwanda. If you think of where they were, in the 90s, if you think of what they experienced. And at Zimbabwe, as Zimbabwe, we're very good at talking about the things that we've experienced. And a lot of the times we use that as excuses for being where we are and not being where we would like to be or are supposed to be. But look at that country, they've figured it out and they are doing stuff, you know. So I think we can learn a lot from them to say, your background shapes you. It makes you who you are, whether you like it or not. You can't go back and erase history from the history books. But actually, it gives you a platform on which to build. Even if your background is broken, it still makes you, it positions you uniquely to be able to build moving forward. So I think for Rwanda to achieve the things that they've achieved and to be where they are today, it should inspire all Africans on this continent that all things are possible despite your background.
Interesting. And then over the last 10 years, which technology from Africa is one of your favorites?
Look, I think I'm the boring type, and I must say M-Pesa. I think there isn't a single soul on this African continent who either doesn't know what M-Pesa is or hasn't felt its effects. And granted, I'm sure there are many, many, many others. There are great things coming from this continent, many innovations that are really transforming the world.
Okay. And then there's also the question of the brain drain that people kind of like will learn from wherever university in Africa or home, and then the next minute, if they get the opportunity, they hop and go for a better life. How can we get hold of these critical resources that people don't always leave home, you know?
Yeah. So Sean, here's the thing. You and I know that the world is changing so fast. In fact, the world is changing faster than we are able to cope with. And so what has happened, and let me speak about our context. What has happened is that the world, and let's talk about the world of technology, has changed so rapidly that we haven't been able to keep up. Okay? And so a lot of the problems that we face, they're actually caused by the fact that we haven't been able to keep up at the rate that we should. So the reality is that what happens is that a young graduate emerges from the university, and let me speak from my world, you know. So I graduated 2001 as an electronic engineer. Of my classmates, those that graduated with me in electronic engineering, I can think of one and maybe two others who are in Zimbabwe today. But the reality for an electronic engineer emerging from any of our institutions in this country today, the reality is there are no opportunities. So the answer is in creating opportunity, and the answer to that is in doing what we can to bridge the gap between academia and industry. And the answer to that is to track or even to craft the journey of a young student so that their journey has to do with them not only being in the classroom but being embedded in industry. And if our students today are embedded in industry from day one that they arrive at a tertiary institution, what it means that they are now embedded in a context that is riddled with problems to which they have the solutions. So what that means is that on a, say, a young engineering student on their 5-year journey, what it means is that during the course of that 5 years, they are embedded and they are plugged in to a context where they can actually find relevance from day one. And what that means is that the day that they graduate, they don't graduate and find themselves being irrelevant or look around and say there are no opportunities. So they get to create the opportunities and collaboration with industry and with other colleagues, and I believe that that way we'll be able to create better products from our academic institutions, and also we will create graduates who don't feel that the day they get their certificate, they need to be on a one-way ticket to Kodi. Do you know what I'm saying? They find relevance here. And I believe if we engage that process, we'll see the brain drain come down.
The brain drain being drained down.
Drained down. Let's drain the brain drain.
Yes. Going back to what you said earlier, you say that when the other ways that you can talk about innovation for Africa is having conversations with authorities, with industry leaders, you name it. Can you please tell us more about the Big Talk series? What is that?
Yeah, so maybe a year and a half ago, as Innovation for Africa, we started Big Talks, really as a platform where we wanted to see power talks from industry thought leaders that inspire progress and unlock innovation. And so that's what Big Talk is about. An exciting development is that the British Council, who were also running their own series of talks under Management Express, a time came when we decided to then bring the two brands of Big Talk and Management Express together. And we now run the Power series, and it's a merging of two brands, and we're seeing increased effectiveness, and we're really seeing movement there, progress in terms of bringing people together so that we can have conversation, so that we can generate ideas, and so that hopefully we can inspire progress in our spaces.
Then just to round up, where do you see Innovation for Africa in, let's say, 3 to 5 years from now?
Yeah, so I think that a big milestone for us will be in the establishing of a cohesive citywide ecosystems for the purposes of entrepreneurship and innovation.
I hope you found today's episode enlightening and informative. That's it for this week. Until next time. Yeah.